Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello. Hi.
Hello?
Yes. Okay. Yep. Hi. Yes. Hello, hi. Y'all. I know you're used to hearing Mr. Jack O'Brien tease his class, but I am the substitute, and I would like to welcome you, the internet, to season 195, episode 5 of the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
It's a production of iHeartRadio, and it's the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday. Thank you. July 30th, 2021. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Fucking with the best. Yes, I'm a host. Never had a problem making shows. The ride-out music's all I know. In Hawaii, volcanoes. Shout out to the track I'm a Zoe by Black Data, if you remember that from 2010, the Haitian rapper. And shout out to Christy Yamaguchi Main for that wonderful a.k.a.
That's a good deep cut.
I mean, I forgot about that song, and I was like, how are you referencing this song? But again, that's what we do. We hop in the DeLorean, go back 11 years to bygone Haitian rappers. Now, it's important that I bring in my guest host, someone who has stood by my side when I've just been left in the lurch by Jack. I said, I need help. Somebody needs to help me carry the show. And I am thrilled and pleased to be joined by the talented, the brilliant. But you got a new podcast out. And you might want to fuck with it. It's about Kathy. It's the Act Cast. And you know her from the Bechdel Cast. You know her from... What don't you know her from? Please welcome our favorite Lil Zamboni herself, Jamie Loftus.
A.K.A. Jamie. My dog has shitty garbage politics. I wrote that one myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm mad at you.
I've been in a purple state, so he's been really trotting around the yard telling people to vote blue no matter who, and I keep trying to explain to him why that's a flawed, you know, mentality.
Flawed premise. Yeah, yeah. There's no nuance in that. What state are you in?
I'm in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Back, baby. I'm eating so much cheese, and there's a tornado, and that I think that's all that's happened in Wisconsin.
Tornadoes freak
years.
Me out. Tornadoes freak me out. Well, let's get to our guest. This is somebody who is, you know, just an OG in the LA area.
A
legend. Some people know him. I mean, look, he's a writer. He's a comedian. Yeah. He's an improviser. Yeah. He's everywhere you want to be. He's like Visa or MasterCard or American Express. I don't know which one it is, but this man is talented beyond all belief. Please welcome the wonderful and brilliant Carl Tard.
Oh, y'all done did it. Y'all done did it to him. Y'all done lifted the band. You lifted the band. The band is over. If anybody remembers that, shout out to you for rocking with the show that long. But
oh, the band? Yeah.
I'm sure nobody remembers that.
The band? How long is it? That band has been in place for years.
Four or five years.
Yeah.
More years, I would this like to remember. Huge. That. I'm like, damn, I've been doing this show for that long.
Yeah, man. And you still broke.
Yeah, and I'm still in a Mazda.
Damn. <There.
laughs> Like, you know, when I'm like, yes, I'm moving up, they're like, here's a Mazda for 6 months. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'll take that.
I still don't have a driver's license.
You don't?
It's been four years. Shit. No. It has nothing to do with I would like to hold Zeitgeist personally accountable for me not having a driver's license. No, keep failing the test.
You've transcended Zeitgeist, let's be real.
I just don't pass
anything
it.
At this point. That's on you, Jamie. That's on you and your representatives.
Man, okay. We cheated on that written test. And did you do the same? I'm sure, Miles, you have a similar. Jamie, you from LA? You're not from California, are you?
No, I'm from Massachusetts.
Okay. Well, out here, the written test was the same for everybody. It was on a long strip of paper, and mm-hmm. all they did was rearrange where the questions were. So when people took their written test at school and they got all the answers right, you just had to memorize the answers. And
yeah, exactly.
That's how you passed that written test. Yeah.
And because there's only like three. Like, mm-hmm. if you had three of them, you basically had every question.
Yeah.
But my thing was, in high school, I didn't get my license because all my other friends were like so on it, and my parents weren't getting me a car or anything like that. So I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with a license?
Yeah.
So I was always getting chauffeured around, as I like to say, in high school. And then when I actually passed, when I went for my test, I did that thing where I'm sure every state has that DMV in their area where they're like, you can show up drunk and they will still give you a driver's license.
Yeah.
And that was the Arleta DMV for me.
Yeah, it was Inglewood DMV for me.
Yeah, there's always those spots.
I failed at Inglewood DMV. I failed at Glendale DMV. I've failed at three different DMVs in the metropolitan area.
Go to Arleta.
Okay, I haven't tried there yet.
Yeah,
Arleta, if things have still held steady since my time out there, Arleta, I'm sure you could even show up with like fake ID and they're like, "All right, Mr. Reagan, are you
fake
ready
ID
for your test?"
And like hit a mailbox and you're good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. Anyway, how's everybody doing? Doing well? Doing all right?
Chilling, man.
Traveling?
Pretty good. Yeah, we're all
man,
in different states.
Your shoe rack is looking strong back there.
You seeing that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
People don't know. He's got a shoe haul behind him.
They were all on the floor before, and then I moved, and I got a office space here, and I got a second bedroom, and decided to have a little office space, and so I bought some racks off of the evil overlord Amazon. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry to those who are woke. But I had to get these shoe racks, and I needed them quick.
Also, wait, you have a DJ set up back there? Do I see a rain mixer?
Yeah, you see
behind
that.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. What are you? What? Are you a DJ?
I might throw some Anita Baker on and mix it with a little Sade.
Wait, when do you, since, when oh do you, have God. You, when were you, have you been spinning?
We'll talk about this off air, Miles.
Yeah, well,
there's
man.
Been a lot going on during the band.
As somebody who DJ'd a lot, I was clocking that logo. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing that rain mixer?
Yeah.
He's doing clubs?
We're getting back. I ain't doing clubs yet. I'm just doing brunches, you know? I told you, I throw on my Herb Alpert, Making Love in the Rain.
Okay, yes.
At the brunch?
We love the trumpet sound.
At the brunch. That's what you get, you know, the brunch, because everybody's talking at the brunch. Everybody's talking, everybody's, you know, stuffing their faces, and then they hear their little groove, and they go, oh, shit. Mm. Hold on. Is that old school? Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I throw on that rise. I throw on that Herb Alpert rotation.
You're like, okay, I see what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear everybody's doing well. And you're in Wisconsin, and you got cheese and tornadoes and all kinds of stuff.
Hot dogs, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get into the show a little bit. Let's give people a preview of what we're going to talk about today. First, we're going to talk about the Capitol Police. They said they will arrest the maskless if you are in the Capitol, because Nancy Pelosi's not playing around, and you will get arrested. Unless you're a member of Congress, in which case we'll see how far she'll take that. Mm-hmm. We'll also talk about, you know, just kind of checking in with just the sort of mass exodus from a lot of jobs continues, where like while a lot of business owners are like, there's a labor shortage. It seems like more and more than anything, we are starting to see things begin to sort of realign, or at least people take, you know, the power into their own hands to decide how they want to work. Then we'll talk about Trump unfortunately, because, you know, he's been saying he's a kingmaker. You know, all the Republicans are like, I mean, what his word is gold, and whatever he says is the truth. It's the gospel. And he's been picking some losers recently in some special elections. So we'll check in on his king-making ability and his decision-making ability. Not great. We'll also check in with the Tokyo shit show, a.k.a. the Olympics. And we'll talk about a jewel heist.
Today. I was eating cheese curds watching badminton. Yeah.
Okay. Look at you.
That's exciting.
Little Miss Muffet eating your curds and whey. And then we'll talk about a jewel heist in Paris that somehow involves Jean-Claude Van Damme. And it's very silly, but just kind of funny to me because I didn't realize Jean-Claude Van Damme was just so fucking popular still. But first, Carl, we want to ask you, our guest, what is something from your search history that's, you know, like revealing, well, you know, just reveals something about who you are, where you are, what you're up to?
All right, I looked at my Google and this thing I saw that y'all would like to hear about is chopped beef. I Googled chopped beef. Ooh. Why? Because I was at Denny's last night with a buddy. Shout out Chinadu Unaka. I was at Denny's with Chinadu, and I wanted to get that. I was like, you know, I never order chicken fried steak. And then I looked to see how they prepared it, and it said chopped beef. I was like, chopped beef? I feel like chopped beef, when they say it like that, is just hamburger meat. And I'm not trying to eat a chicken fried hamburger. And so I Googled what chopped beef was, as opposed to cube steak, which is just really tenderized steak, which looks like it could be hamburger patty, but it's not. It's cube steak.
Just smashed to shit you don't realize how tough it is.
Exactly. And they were two different things, so I didn't order that. I got the Grand Slamwich.
Isn't chopped beef like brisket?
It could be. There is a chopped beef like brisket. Yes. So when you'll see chopped beef, it'll be like a chopped up brisket type situation, which you would put in a stew or something like that. But the chopped beef that they had at Denny's was most certainly hamburger meat. Ground beef.
That's a good like scam to just be like, chopped beef could be anything and you can't ask for specifics.
Yeah. It's like hot dogs.
Say? Like, it's chopped beef. Yeah. I know, but it's just, can you tell me what kind of beef, like what part it is? It's chopped beef.
Chopped beef. What type of knife did you chop it with? You chop it with an axe? Like, what did you chop it with?
Oh man, was Denny's packed? How was it in there?
Denny's was not packed. It was pretty empty, so it was safe. You know,
sad times.
Yeah, it was pretty empty. And my Grand Slam, which was kind of cold. My hash browns was kind of cold. But it was only speaking of labor shortages, there was only one lady working. She was running in and out, and you know we didn't give her no stress. I only asked for two Diet Cokes. But
there you go. We'll get to that too.
It's incredible restraint.
I could, because I was fiending. I was fiending for some of that phenylenine. But I only asked for two because I'm like, listen, she's busy. Even though she only got a couple tables, only a few people in here, but she was the only person working. It felt like a 1950s diner. Like,
I can't help you, Shug.
But like, it was like one person. I'm like, man, that's crazy.
Oh man, what's something that you think is overrated?
I'm gonna tell you because I just saw this. I think something that is overrated is people using the word normalize in tweets. I'm sick of that. I just saw one that like normalize buying a plot of land with your friends and raising cattle and raising your kids. Who is saying that is not normal? Number one. Number two, why don't you fucking do it? It feels like when people say normalize, it'd be stuff that they don't do. Like, they just want to, like, not be ridiculed for it. And it's like, be a leader. Don't worry about what other people need to normalize.
Right.
If you want to buy a plot of land with your friends and raise your families on it like a cult, then do that. Ain't nobody care. Right. Ain't nobody think about you.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be normal.
Normalize that. Normalize wearing bootcut jeans with your Air Max 95. Yeah. You know, like, oh, my God, no. And that's true, Carl. It sounds like a thing that you get. Like people will tease somebody for, and then they have to go and be like, we need to normalize picking your nose at Denny's and then putting the boogers on your napkin. And then you count them at the end of your meal just to kind of keep pace with what your booger output is every day. We need to normalize that. I'm just saying, if I saw it, I wouldn't think it was weird. That's just me.
Do you, boo? Do you?
What other normalizing do we? I always feel like, what are the other ones you see? It's like, normalize not buying whatever the fuck. I don't know. It's just we're trying to normalize many things, or
Occasionally, I feel like it can be used well, but most of the time it's normalized being so sweaty in the summer that people mistake you for gloppy. That's when I just met. I'm here to support that one.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, stuff like saying, like, you know, normalize expressing your emotions with your male friends. I get that.
Yeah.
That's about mental health.
Some of them make sense.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, pushing back against, you know, toxic habits we might have. But, like, getting into this weird stuff, like, yeah. You know, whatever. Normalize filling your hat with beans. And going to a show. It's like, I don't know, I'm just saying. We shouldn't really be thumbing our noses at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. If you Zeit Gang, let us know if you've seen any good normalization tweets. Like, not ones that make sense, but ones that are, like, being so sweaty people think you're gloppy. Did Jack tweet that?
That might be Jack. That might have been the tweet he got canceled over, and that's why he's not here today.
Oh, yeah, I heard about it. I'm not on Twitter anymore, but I heard Jack got canceled.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's every day.
He really can't stop talking. And I'm shocked he's still online.
Because he has all those sock puppet accounts.
And he responds to his own tweets. It's really embarrassing.
Yeah, and it's really lame when you see Jack retweeting from the accounts. You know he runs the other ones too. And it's like, come on, Jack.
If you ever see Jack tweet and then someone with an egg for an avatar says, great point, Jack. That's also Jack.
Great point.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Carl, what is something that you think is underrated?
Okay, what I think, something that I definitely think is underrated is finishing your fries before you get home. We don't talk about it.
Mm.
We don't talk about it enough. Normalize finishing your fries before you get home.
I was going to say, yeah, this sounds like a good opportunity to normalize something. What do you mean when you're taking you got a to-go order?
Yeah, when you're in the drive-thru.
Because you don't want the fries to die in the bag.
Yeah, because they can. Sometimes they hold up, but sometimes they can die.
Fries hold up? Because it's like, I always... like hold a flame that my fries are gonna make it to the next day intact, and it never happens.
Wait, the next day you said?
The next day, yeah.
No fry can make it past maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah. I take it back.
You're in the choo-choo zone because it's so chewy.
I'm just gonna leave the call.
But yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm also the kind of person who hates wasting food. So if I have a ton of fries, I'll save them. And I'll look at them in my refrigerator and I'll say, I'm not going to fucking eat that. Although sometimes I'll repurpose them into hash browns. Like I'll put them in the pan and I'll chop them up.
Really?
And then you can, yeah. You can use old fries and then you can give them new life. Yeah.
Interesting. What is y'all stance on leftovers? Now, this is what's going to get me canceled with all the food shortages that is going on in the world. But I don't do leftovers, man. I can't do them. It's only specific things I can do. I can eat pizza for 3 days.
Pizza?
Yeah, okay. I can do pizza for a long time. Also, the homie Vivian, she told me how to do pizza, like, give pizza new life.
Mm-hmm.
Cold pizza's bomb. But she told me how to give pizza new life where you put it in a skillet and put a spoonful of water in it and then put the top over it.
Yep.
And I tried that and I was like, oh, damn, that works.
Yeah.
It brings it back. It was crazy. Yeah.
Whoa.
That's Dear Leader Jack's favorite way to bring back a slice, too. Besides the coal gas study and the Havana syndrome, that's all he talks about is putting a piece of pizza in a skillet with a drop of water, put the lid on for 1 minute. The bottom is crispy, the top is bubbly, and you're right back.
You're back in the game.
We eat leftovers? Is it just pizza?
I can do pasta too. I can do pasta.
Mm. What about Chinese food?
Chinese food I can do. I guess I do.
What are the ones you don't do? Maybe let's get to those.
Like, I'm not going to eat.
Not gonna do no burgers.
Burgers. Fuck.
Okay. What would I order at a restaurant? I also don't like carrying. If I got somewhere to go after the restaurant, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna carry that shit around. Or I'll take it outside and give it to somebody or something like that. But
yeah,
I'm not gonna take it home. I'm not like what is something that I can't do? Anything bread involved, honestly. Anything bread involved doesn't hold up for me.
Yeah, the bread gets droopy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets gloopy. Normalized bread turning into gloppy.
More gloppy sandwiches for everybody. Yeah, I mean, I have like the other version is where I don't like leftovers, so I will just kill myself at the table overeating to not leave anything on the plate. Because I also was raised in like big, strong, empty plate culture at the end of your meal, even if it was at the cost of like overeating. So I still have that terrible habit too. I'm like, I can't. I'm be like, give me your food too, because we can't disrespect this cook like that. I'm like dying, just eating all this like garnish and parsley.
I had my first experience eating so much at a restaurant that I threw up outside.
Like, damn.
A couple weeks ago.
Wait, what?
That's never happened to me before. Like, I was so shocked. I didn't know what to do because it was like I've never known someone who worked at a restaurant, but my boyfriend's friend works at a hibachi restaurant in Racine, Wisconsin. So we went and he kept sending out food and I was like, I can't eat anymore. He's like, well, then you're disrespecting my hibachi chef friend. And so we kept eating. And then when we finished, I don't eat that much in a single sitting. And I walked 2 blocks away by myself and I threw up in a bush. And it was an amazing meal. But it was like,
are we talking out of a bush? Do you normally, what you do? Like, did you say you would quadruple your normal intake for a meal, quintupled it? Like, how many exponents? What's the exponent on top of, you know, what you ate?
It was like more than twice than of what I would normally eat at a single meal. And and all the food was good too. So I was like, my body was confused because I was eating good stuff, but I couldn't have any of more of it in my face. And I was drinking a Long Island iced tea. And then I just absolutely spewed into a bush.
I loved it. Like, don't disrespect the hibachi chef. He did the little volcano with the onions and everything for us.
He did. It was really exciting. But
I never been to a hibachi. I gotta go. I gotta go check out Benihana.
It's theater. Yeah, it's theater.
I heard the food's pretty good too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the food's not bad. I honestly get more excited when they do that stupid ass volcano with the onion.
Yeah.
Stack the onions. I'm like, here comes a volcano.
He was like a really good one too. So he could flip the onion into his hat and then flip it out of his hat and then did the volcano. It was really exciting.
I've noticed on TikTok, there's like a huge genre of videos that looks like guys who used to work at Benihana with many restaurants closing down, they were just making their own hibachi content, like in their garage. Like they would have a flat top and just show you how to make like fried rice or do different like hibachi skills. And I don't know, that was another form of a TikTok spiral I went down.
That's wild.
So shout out to all the hibachi chefs out there. We respect you.
Carl, you got to get leftover hibachi. It holds up.
I'm going to go to that bush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where was it in Racine again?
Here.
I'm going to go. Hey, gang, if you're in Racine, check out the bush.
In Racine. I'm going to go to the League of Their Own Museum, and I'm going to go get some of that.
Is there a League of Their Own Museum there? No, I know it took place in Racine.
Oh, okay. I don't know if there is.
I was thinking the same thing, too. I'm like, the Racine peaches.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. Is there any League of Their Own anything in Racine? Like, acknowledgement?
People talk about it a lot. I've never seen a public acknowledgement of it, but I might
like
be missing
today
something.
They're still talking about it? They're like, man, remember League of Their Own? Like,
every time I come here, my boyfriend's grandma will be like, you know, like League of Their Own. I mean, it's like the thing. Racine is great. I'm not trying to hate on Racine or their hibachi food. It was my body that was wrong.
you did some kind of MTV The Challenge eating thing, and you rightfully reached your limit.
I was so inspired by, I saw Joey Chestnut last month, and I was like, I could do that, and then I threw up right away.
How many, he ate so many fucking
hot
dogs.
He ate 76 hot dogs, Miles, in That's 10 crazy. Minutes.
No ketchup. Impossible. It was absurd.
It was ridiculous. And then I saw him, and then he, it was really exciting. He like kind of like he didn't push past me, but he like moved me aside to go to the bathroom afterwards. It was really exciting.
Oh, wait, who did?
Joseph
Christian Chestnut?
He touched my shoulder. I said, excuse me, because he had to go barf out all those hot dogs.
Oh my God. You've lived. And you've lived quite a life. Electric. I know he went to San Jose State University, according to his Wikipedia. Yep. Those are random facts brought to you by me Googling something right then and there. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be back. We'll talk some news after this.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. Let's move on to some news, mostly having to do with Congress. Yes, they have some kind of bipartisan deal for the infrastructure that is not going to address any of the, you know, pressing climate issues, but we'll get to that at another time. The other thing that's really brewing on the Hill is COVID. You know, we are still in a pandemic, despite a lot of, you know, a lot of the messaging out there that says, like, everything's fine. Nothing's bad. Don't worry about it. Just do whatever you got to do. Take your masks off and just live free. A lot of the guidance has changed over the last week as the Delta variant is spreading. And the House of Representatives, they're doing a very normal and responsible thing and making everyone mask up indoors regardless of vaccination. They say, you know what, it doesn't look like we can live that free at the moment. So let's actually be safe and responsible. Wear these masks. Kicked off a bunch of BS from the right. Some were posting things like this. One congresswoman was like, Pelosi's doing a power grab and I follow science, not Pelosi. So if you want to do something, come and get me. And like this like whole menacing like look and shit. It's so fucking tired. But at
are they
a minimum,
like tweeting that or are they like posting menacing up angle selfies and saying that? Like, what are they doing?
It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, kind of when you got your eyes low. So you look up from your eyebrows and shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's kind of like the angle they're going. And the like, come do something about it is such like, you know, like stepchild trying to get attention type tactics where it's like, I'll break the rules so they notice me. And I think that's kind of what's going on with some of these representatives. But the good thing is, I guess, that the Capitol Police are here to, you know, because we love the police, not. They have made it clear that they aren't going to tolerate people flouting the safety measures just so they can get some headlines. They have been instructed, quote, if a visitor or staff member fails to wear a mask after a request is made to do so, the visitor or staff shall be denied entry and potentially be arrested for unlawful entry if they completely refuse.
Wow.
That's tight. This doesn't apply to members. So people like Lauren Boebert and majorly tarnished gangrene are going to just have to be, they're just going to do their thing and continue to like be super
shoot
abrasive.
Loogies back and forth in each other's mouths.
Can you imagine? I mean, I feel like that's the...
I'm sure
I feel like it might get that petulant. Like, they're going to do something. Like, they're going to be like, we cough in each other's faces, okay?
This is how I express my freedom. I sneeze in my colleague's mouth.
like a Groupon dentist.
Like a Groupon dentist, exactly.
Are they getting tested at least?
I mean, I think some might be, but there's really no mandate around that. It just seems that they were asked people to get vaccinated. They're like, meh. Then others are like, I have an immune system. I don't need to wear a mask. And it just sadly, this is where it's going to keep going around and around. But the way it's like working is if the cops, you know, they see something like a member not wearing a mask, then what they do is they snitch to their superior, who will then tell the sergeant at arms and Pelosi. And then Nancy Pelosi will then figure out what she wants to do. But I don't know what she would do. Well, you know, what she's going to try to do, because this is just like the problem with how our Congress works is there's just such a fear of the reaction of the right that nothing will happen. Like, well, then if they do that, then they're going to start saying this. And it's like, well, but people are still safe. Like, what do you care? Like,
they're just allowed to sneeze all over the Capitol. Cool.
Right. Don't act like the parent who's afraid of their kid's reaction because you're creating rules. You're like, oh, but then my kid's not going to like me.
They're going to post about it.
Hello? Okay. Hey, do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. But yeah, such is the state of the pandemic. And yeah, I mean, for all the talk of Republicans saying, like, especially in this one member who was trying to like be like, come and get me. When she says she believes in science, I'm like, what part of science are you believing in exactly? If you're saying... Because the CDC is going to recommend it. So who is science in this?
Jesus is science.
Ooh. It's different.
Yeah, Christian Science.
Yeah. Oh,
yep, yep. Christian. But even, they're like, so just no dinosaurs.
No dinosaurs?
We're good.
No dinosaurs, no doctors.
That's it. Science, though, I love it. Then like, God. Okay.
That would make a good T-shirt in spite of its bad messaging. No dinosaurs, no doctors. That's a powerful phrase.
Or it's a dinosaur dressed as a doctor.
with a red X through it.
Yeah, you're like, no thank you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so again, this is just like the biggest pain in the ass to just experience as an American when we have so many vaccines that we're hoarding them and preventing the rest of the world from having them just to try and convince a group of people who aren't going to take it and allow... You know, these communities that are unvaccinated become like hyper laboratories for variant mutation. Because, shit, I mean, that's another rabbit hole we can go down. But I'm not a virologist, so I'll just be a podcaster and say it could get scary. It seems based on things I'm reading.
I mean, I got it. I'm vaxxed. I'm vaxxed since March. I got it a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I told people like, hey, get the vaccine. Because I'm like, I got it. Only thing that hurt was my pocketbook. But I'm like, yeah, I lost the job. But I was shooting something and they had to.
Because they said they didn't want vaccinated people on that set. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was shooting a Christian Science movie. And,
called Dr. Rex.
And when I told them, I was like, hey, man, I shouldn't come in. I have COVID. And they was like, oh, you're not going to finish the movie? Well, you're fired. I definitely was like, yo, you should get this because I think the fact that I still got it after having the vaccine means that this shit is strong, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, the fact that I'm pretty much like very, very, very mild symptoms means that the vaccine is working, at least to an extent. Mm-hmm. But their takeaway from me getting it was, it doesn't work. You can still get it. It's like, you clowns.
I'm not going to get it like you get it.
Exactly.
Yeah, like you're That's not in the hospital about it.
That's what, man, I have people in my family like that too, who have gotten the shit twice, okay, and since the beginning of 2020, and are still on some, like, no, I have immunities type shit. And I'm like, you are, like, some people, I'm like, you are too damn smart for this shit. I don't know what the fuck you were thinking, but I don't, this is a familiar refrain I think many people are experiencing in the country. We are not alone, no matter where you live or what community you're in. So, yeah, again, this is just the current tug of war on the Hill. Another thing about COVID, which is interesting, because, Carl, you're talking about how, you know, you're at Denny's and there was only one person working, is this constant sort of screaming about a labor shortage that there's like nobody wants to work because they're getting benefits and they're getting unemployment benefits and they're just loafing around. Okay, that's, we've all seen the studies that say these people are not just collecting a check and kicking back. Many people are actually taking advantage of this social safety net. The fact that they could have benefits means they don't have the pressure to take just any old job that's going to screw them over because the pandemic has given many people the perspective of like what work should look like or what it means to work or what you deserve to work. Mm-hmm. And because of that, just this trend of people leaving their jobs has not stopped. Like, it's continuing. A lot of people are just being like, I need to find another job. Mm-hmm. And if again, because they have the ability, the flexibility with these benefits to just say, you know what, you don't need to actually have a job right now. You can take some time to look at what you want to do. That is being categorized as a labor shortage.
Yeah, I think it is like a really, it's been interesting to kind of watch this develop too, because I feel like it kind of like unravels a lot of the like bootstrap mentality that most of us are raised with of like, well, you have to, like, if you don't have a job, even if you hate it, even if you're treated like shit, even if you're not given any benefits and you don't make enough money to live, like interpreting that as a personal failing versus a systemic one. And the past year has like just laid that all out. If it wasn't something that you had, you know, kind of pieced together already, that people are just like, well, no, this is clearly a systemic failure. And there are already, I mean, like, there are so few social safety nets as it is that it's like, of course, people are going to use this. Like, it's, that's what it's fucking for.
Yeah. I mean, anybody, you know, who's worked retail, server job or whatever, it's bad. The money isn't good. And the sort of the constant deferential behavior you have to adopt to the customer will grind your soul down, especially when people are screaming in your face about nothing that's not your problem and you're just there trying to do your job too. And, you know, we're seeing like this sort of, there's just two forces, right? There's the business owners who are like, where the fuck are they at? I got my less than $15 an hour I'm offering and they're not coming back because I'm not finna change my fucking business model and say, oh, I'm going to, you know what, people are asking for a living wage. Well, that starts to cut down on my profits. And I know, and for smaller businesses, that's tricky math too, because sometimes you're already dealing with razor thin margins, which is why I feel like business owners too should implore the government to have things like universal health care, because that's a cost that would be taken off an employer's plate. You know, there's ways that they can also participate in, you know, advocating better for everybody. But, and then on the other side, you have the workers who are just saying like this, we cannot work for subsistence wages. I can't go to a place where this one job isn't going to support me. I can't work two and three jobs just to be able to have an apartment that's too small and barely enough food and have nothing to save at the end of the day. And really what this is, people are just begging for and screaming for is a real, just like, just having a reckoning with what we consider like labor, what we consider essential, and what that means in terms of what you are paid, you know?
Right. Like if you're working an essential job, you should be able to work one job and live and have benefits you can, like, it, that it's just, it's so obvious, but I really hope that there is like some sort of change that's forced here. And my My fear is that the social safety net will just be scaled back so people are forced back into jobs. And I really, really, really hope that what workers are, you know, organizing or just making individual choices to do right now actually does push for better conditions and better money.
Yeah.
Also, Miles, I wanted to, you know, give you a shout out because you lost your small business, Studio City Shoe Buckle Company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah.
You had razor thin margins.
Shoe buckles aren't, look, Carl was like, it's not going to work, man. Yeah. Nobody wants shoe buckles. And I was like, what the fuck do you know, Carl? But listen, it's called Studio City Shoe Buckles. It's got S's and C's. It's got alliterative qualities to the name. Nobody wears shoe buckles anymore. I'll say it wasn't fun to work there.
I didn't enjoy a second of it.
Well, the problem was you weren't putting in enough hours to get those hour bonuses I told you that would actually get you to that $15 an hour sort of wage that I promised. And your sales were low.
Shifts.
Very easy to get COVID. Very easy to get COVID in the shoe buckle industry.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you're trying someone on for shoe buckles. You are in coughing trajectory just beneath someone's knees.
Yeah.
Just being like, what about this? And like just talking at you, it can be an infection vector. And I apologize. We weren't really open for more than a week. But yes, Studio City Shoe Buckles is no more. And I will be back, though. Worry not, because this is America. And I'll find some way to grift some money to start another business. But yeah, this like essential stuff, it really feels like at a minimum, we could at the very least say if something's essential, that has to be a job that can be your only job. And you can afford to have, you could be a single parent. And you could have two kids and you can still put a roof and food and everything and with your one job. But I think a lot of it, because we've whittled away so many social safety nets since like, you know, the middle of the last century, that things that were like used to be free, like college, became cash grabs when like Ronald Reagan's like, hey, man, like, you know, like you can kind of start charging people for like UC schools. You know what I mean? And that gave all the other public schools across the country the idea that, oh, yeah, now we can squeeze people for a little bit of money here. You know, actually, if you cut this part back of medical care, you know, they'll pick that up and people won't really notice and you'll actually make a lot more money. We've whittled all these things back because if you think about it, ask your grandparents if they're still with us or your parents. You could have been a custodian and supported an entire family just being a custodian because there were enough.
And had retirement money.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different era now. And now we're looking at things like that and just saying like, oh, essential. That means essentially you're fucked. That's pretty much what it means now. And I think
it means someone will clap for you as you pass to go to your job where you're not paid enough to live.
Yeah. I feel like businesses should be like, hey, if you come through with your like essential worker thing, like you drink for free. You know what I mean? Like you eat for free. Like I feel like, this is the situation we're in.
Everybody go outside and bang your pot to 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I think these people would just rather have like the health care paid for and like adequate child care. I'm gonna bang this pot. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's like fuck. So again, this realignment, or hopefully there'll be some kind of realignment in terms of what we're calling labor these days. But you know, as things get closer, you know, unemployment benefits are due to be cut off fairly soon. And that's gonna put about 40 million people under some more pressure, and we'll see what happens then. And you know, I think a lot of organizations, especially around labor, are talking about like we need real organized labor strikes. Like we really need to be able to organize around that to try and create some pressure and put that on the business owning community and our representatives in government to realize, fuck, like it's yeah, I guess it's that bad, but I don't know. From my perspective as a millionaire in Congress, it's hard to see. All right, well, let's pivot off of that and go to a break. And we'll be right back after this to talk about Trump's king-making streak.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where First-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. So Donald Trump, he put his weight behind a candidate in a special election that was happening in Texas earlier this week. This woman, Susan Wright, who is the widow of the late Ron Wright, who passed away from COVID. So this was like just it was a Republican seat. There was a primary going on and there was two candidates, Susan Wright and Jake Elzey. Trump was like, I'm all for Susan Wright. And guess what? She lost. And guess what? Trump said he actually won that one because he said, this is from Axios quote. He also said that he actually won because Wright had bested Elzey in the initial primary and the runoff came down to two Republicans he liked. His quote is, I think this is the only race we've lost together, Trump said of McIntosh and the Club for Growth before catching himself mid-sentence on the word lost. This is the only race we've... This is not a loss. Again, I don't want to claim it as a loss. This was a win. The big thing is we had two very good people running that were both Republicans. That was the win.
If he concedes, if he concedes three losses in his lifetime, he does explode. So there is a reason that he's not doing. Yeah, his head explodes into a cloud of blood if that happens. God, that is so. That's so embarrassing.
The best part, though, is the Club for Growth straight played his ass to get him to back this candidate because they just were like, dude, this dude's so petty. Like, we can just say three things about the other person to make him put his weight behind this other candidate. They said, oh, you know, Bill Elzey, he said he won't join the Freedom Caucus. So he's not really that Trumpy if it comes down to it. Also, you know, Bill Kristol, that Republican who's also giving you trouble all the time, who's like saying you're not a conservative. He gave him money that one time. That's your enemy, right? Like talking to him like that. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah. So fuck him. Yeah. We're going with Susan Wright. And so He went all in on Susan Wright and lost. Ha, ha, ha. So this is just a very interesting moment for Trump because he's looking at all kinds of legal exposure just as a private citizen. And he's also, you know, it came out that he's been using all that money that he grifted after the election when he was sending those emails. He's like, I need y'all to give me your money so we can protect this election. He's been spending that shit on his own expenses.
Taco Bowls.
He hasn't done, huh?
Taco Bowls. He's been spending on Taco Bowls.
Ooh, wait. Taco Bowl. Okay, Taco Bowls leftovers. Yes or no?
No.
That shell is going to hold up.
I would do leftovers. Okay, all right.
But it's different. Look, it's all context for different people. Like, I would probably dump the contents out of the taco bowl because I'm not going to lie. You know, out in the humidity, a taco shell can just turn to like the worst kind of
it's true.
Texture.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's weird. Even though I say that, I've had some trash leftover, like, scraped together meals. So I don't really have. I'll eat it. I'll eat old fries. I don't give a shit. I'll pull fries out the fucking trash if I'm high enough.
I could do a burrito bowl.
Okay.
If I didn't eat the whole thing. I will say Taco Bell soft tacos after 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Can you do that?
Ooh. Yes.
I don't know absolutely. If I can.
Yeah, I feel like I've been on a set where there was like old Taco Bell. And
lukewarm
like,
ones,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck it. Whatever. Let's do it.
I can't do the crunchy ones, but I can do the soft.
Yeah, because again, a soft, crunchy shell,
it's disgusting.
And no, also that's
like,
bad.
And you know, to get back on the leftovers thing, like an old burrito, sometimes the burrito becomes so saturated with like moisture that it becomes a whole other texture.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's, I don't like
it's hard.
That.
And sometimes I'll just dump the contents out. I'll just be like, fuck it.
But as Trump says, for a fresh taco
Speaking
bowl.
Speaking of old burrito.
I've got to come.
I'm going to love it. You're going to love it. So this man is really slipping in terms of his grip on the party, because everyone was so afraid of like, well, whoever he picks is going to win because his word is the thing that will make all of the boys come to the yard. It's like Khaleesi's milkshake, okay? And that's what we're all trying to figure out. Is it still powerful? And it doesn't seem like it is. And his lack of being able to pick winners is becoming a problem for Republicans. Like Mitch McConnell is pissed because at the very least, this turtle, goblin, turkey neck fool is saying like, he knows you need candidates that are likable and electable to get them into the Senate to keep your majority. That's just like a basic rule. Whereas Trump, he's picking people based off his like funhouse mirror of a brain and how he thinks election works. For example, he wants Herschel Walker, the former football player, to run for Senate in Georgia against Raphael Warnock. Herschel Walker lives in Texas, for starters, and he's also facing like really dark, grim allegations about spousal abuse, like putting guns to like his wife's head and things like that.
Wow,
and
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like there's a lot to be like, ooh, this is not somebody you want to run. But Trump, again, his logic is if there's a black man incumbent that needs to be defeated, then he wants a big, buff football black man to go against him. And that's like sort of his very superficial logic. He's like, that's how we're going to win. Herschel Walker, he's stronger. And like, it's not a Mandingo fight. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He thinks that Herschel Walker played football at Georgia. So he thinks that he has like a lot of, but that's been so long ago. The young voters don't know who the fuck Herschel Walker is. Herschel Walker played for University of Georgia in 1980. We wasn't even born. We were like people in their mid-30s were not born when Herschel Walker was playing football at the University of Georgia. But see, you know, Donald Trump and Herschel Walker go way back to the USFL because he signed with the New Jersey Generals.
Yeah,
that was like his first big signing. He got like $1 million contract with them. And so that's why they're like friends. And then of recent, I watched a documentary on Herschel Walker. If I turn up missing, y'all know Herschel did it. Because he'd be listening to this podcast, I heard. He's a big fan of, he gets his shoe buckles done at Studio City Shoe Buckle.
Well, he does.
He's a big fan of Jack's tweets. So he probably is listening to this right now. And I think young people, all they got to do is watch Herschel Walker's A Football Life, and they're not going to vote for him.
Do you think he's got like CTE?
I think he's had that for a long time. But he also just talked about how his whole life, he's just had anger problems and insecurities.
I mean, this sounds right because the things are that he was putting a gun to his ex-wife's head. Yeah. And blow your brains out.
The dude was like, when I was 13, I used to do 1,000 push-ups every day. And because they called me fat at school. And I said, oh, man, they called me fat at school. And all I did was get fatter.
And then you ended up being
that'll show you.
Oh, my gosh.
That's sinister.
Yeah. So this sounds, yeah. I mean, this all tracks. And then another candidate is in Arizona. All the Republicans are like, please have Doug Ducey, the governor, run. He is the most electable Republican in the state. And that's how we can get this Senate seat. Trump is just like, he can't get over the fact that, you know, he wanted Doug Ducey to really overturn the election results in Arizona because they were, quote unquote, close. Spoiler alert, they weren't. They're not. And he just won't get over that. So he's like, no, Ducey's dead to me. It's going to be someone else. And everyone's like, fuck, dude. Like, this guy doesn't even know how to pick, properly. He's just in his bag all the time. And so now people are very, very concerned. This is from Politico, just talking about, like, what they see is happening with Trump. They say, quote, some Republicans contend that Tuesday's loss highlights a trend in Trump's post-presidency. His endorsement doesn't carry as much weight as when he was in office. After being kicked off social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook, Trump has been forced to promote his endorsement largely through email blasts. It is then up to the candidates and their allies to get the word out about his support.
Wait.
I mean, come on. Why isn't he on TikTok? Can't he go live on TikTok?
Can you go live on TikTok? Oh, no. I'm 75 years old. You can go live on TikTok.
I watch people fishing live on TikTok a lot of times.
That sounds nice.
It's fun.
There are these people who have like black light fishing rods, and then they'll put a black light because it'll be dark. So like their fishing rods are going, I don't know.
Normalize that. Dumb shit. Normalize.
Normalize black light fishing.
Normalize day glow fishing. Come on now. But yeah, so it looks like the deplatforming is working.
Wow. Love that.
Yes. Really quick, I just want to talk about Tokyo. Simone Biles obviously had to take care of number one. Mm-hmm. And I just want to point out that her exiting the games because she was taking care of her mental health. She's like, I was getting the twisties, which every other gymnast was like, oh, no, you don't want that. Please.
I didn't know about the twisties before yesterday. And
I didn't either.
I got educated.
I thought it was a porn site. Yeah.
What is it?
It's this thing like where Simone Biles is saying, for the degree of difficulty in some of her like vaulting skills and other parts, like you're doing all these twists in midair. She said she would do 2.5 twists, and by the first 1.5, she would lose sense of where she was, like in midair and what her routine is. And for how aggressive she comes at these events, the potential for injury is really significant, especially if you're just flinging your body like left and right. You come down on your fucking head or something. It could be terrible.
Yeah.
So she was saying, that's what they call the twisties. It's just sort of like this thing that happens to you where you're like, it's very dangerous. And again, that's why every gymnast was like, I get it. Like, that's absolutely the reason.
And I guess it's like something that can like, it's like a mindset that can like get you, you can get locked in for like weeks and months at a time, which I didn't realize was a thing where it's just like, it's a mental block that you really like just need to take time and take care of yourself and push through. Didn't know.
Like Gil Hodges, you know, the Brooklyn Dodgers, you know, sometimes you can just get something in you and you're not right anymore. And you just got to kind of find it again.
Do you ever get podcast twisties where you're just like, wait a second, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about right now.
Every damn day.
I got them when y'all was talking about politics. I don't, I got the twisties. That's why I started talking about Taco Bowls. Taco Bowls. I got to contribute.
What about the Taco Bowls?
Yeah.
But Suni Lee, she won the women's all around. So shout out to her. This is like the fifth time an American has like won, like fifth consecutive win by an American in that event. But back to the Simone Biles thing, the second she was going to exit the games, every trade, like industry trade magazine, and I say this like in the television industry, like things like Deadline, Variety, The Hollywood Reporter. These are like the magazines that people who are like working at networks and things read every day. That's their news. All the headlines were about Simone Biles potentially exiting the games. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, so this is, I know how they're looking at it. They're like, ratings, everyone, the ratings. If Simone Biles is not there, what are we going to do? And that's when I was like, this is so fucking like it. Cause I was like, there's a lot of headlines about her taking care of herself. And I don't think suddenly Hollywood are the biggest mental health advocates.
Yeah.
So it's got to be about those sweet, sweet ad dollars diminishing because we know the ratings have been terrible.
Yeah, and the basketball team is bad. So, like, between the basketball team being bad and Simone Biles backing out, like, man, nobody watching this shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, too, just the wind is out of the sails because most people are just bummed by the idea that it's still happening in the middle of a pandemic in a country that is only like 25% vaccinated and they're breaking bad records, like in terms of daily new infections. So it's all
and that's
very
on top of like how awful the Olympics are for like any community they enter too. So it's just like, yeah, just don't fucking do it anymore.
But the big thing with all the organizers at the Tokyo Olympics and the government of Tokyo saying like, I know we've got record cases, but it has nothing to do with the Olympics being here. Okay. So like, let's just try and keep those separate thoughts and let's continue just checking out the Olympics. Even though you see on like some of these events, people are coming out in the street to like cheer people on in the cycling or whatever stuff that they're able to kind of see. But despite all that, a lot of the experts are saying like, it's more than just like whether or not you can prove if the bubble works. It's the idea that it's happening and people are watching it on TV and if the coverage seems so normal, it's giving people a false sense of comfort, especially in Japan, that they're not going through a terrible inflection point when it comes to new cases. So, we keep your eye on that one, folks.
No Olympics. Yeah.
No, there it is. Olympics,
no Olympics.
Baby.
No Olympics. I did
just keep them in one place.
That the gear is very tight though. That Nike gear for LA 28 is hard. But no Olympics.
No, it isn't, Carl.
No, that shit is nice. I had you know,
the shit is nice. The marketing got me.
The marketing got me.
But no Olympics.
But no Olympics though. Don't bring them.
Carl's gonna be rocking that, but still be like, oh, it's no Olympics.
I'm gonna have
day.
A full American
tracksuit.
Just put a red X across it.
Yeah. Not on the front.
And dinosaur doctors.
Yeah, same as no dinos, no doctors.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, shit. Damn. LA 20.
Stop.
Huh?
You see?
Oh, my God. I'm leaving the fucking call.
I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at. This one shirt is all blacked out.
Yeah.
But yes, we shall see what happens. I think. There's already the pole vaulter tested positive, who I think was like a heavy favorite for the event. So we're already seeing that person exit. So we'll see. Definitely not like the NBA bubble.
Bryson DeChambeau, the golfer. He also tested positive and had to back out. And he's a big Trump guy.
Really?
Yeah, he's Taco Bowl.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, there we'll see what happens. I hope. You know, whatever. I don't want people to more people than have to get injured, but that's the cynicism of trying to force a global event in the middle of a pandemic in a place that doesn't have the vaccination rates that it needs. Because again, a lot of countries are hoarding them, and you have Pfizer being like, you might need a third shot, you know, or Pfizer might need a third check. But we'll see. There's so many things happening, which is why it's in the zeitgeist, as it were. Okay, before we go, I just want to touch on something. Just the power of Jean-Claude Van Damme, because earlier this week in Paris, a man got away with like a pretty brazen robbery at a very famous jewelry store. They say the gray-haired man who was wearing a gray suit and tie, expensive leather shoes, and a surgical mask to hide his identity waltzed into the LVMH Chamet jewelry shop. Jewelry. That's not even saying jewelry like a friend. A jewelry shop jewelry. On Tuesday and asked to see several expensive pieces. Police say he had made the appointment the day before under a false name using false documents that proved that he had the funds to pay for more than $1 million in jewelry as is required to make an appointment at a place like that. Once the jewels were on the display table, you thought it was you thought it was Killer Mike because he said, run those fucking jewels. He pulled a gun out and stuffed the gems into a grocery bag before swiping the dealer security badge to leave the locked store. He then made off on an electric scooter he had parked outside, easily melding into traffic to make his escape.
Wow.
And so everyone was like, what the fuck happened? This man just casually got on a fucking scooter and zipped off to like meet his other accomplice with millions in jewelry. Well, what the fuck happened? They say, quote, witnesses at an adjacent cafe who could have helped identify him were distracted by the presence of actor Jean-Claude Van Damme, who had just entered a local optical shop.
Lens crafters. Lens. Lens crafters.
They're like, oh shit, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme. Someone's out there like, help! This, I've just been robbed. This man just robbed me. People
are like, they're like, no, it's JCVD.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I can't believe it.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I can't believe it. It feels like a scene in a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie where, like, he would have done something to create a distraction for, like, the heist to go off. But I'm just really surprised that he is really turning heads like that in the midst of a brazen jewelry robbery that, like, everyone's like, I mean, how the fuck could we have known JCVD was walking to get, I think he was getting new lenses and his sunglasses. They're prescription, I think. I think they're Persols that he's wearing. So he's not messing around. But because Paris has like the wild CCTV system, they were able to just very casually track him. And they found him at a rest stop where he was trying to get on a bus to Serbia with another accomplice. And they think that he may have unloaded a lot of the jewels, like already sold them before he got on this bus. So, hey.
And that's why we need our cities to be heavily surveilled.
Exactly.
I've been saying this.
That's why we need to ban Jean-Claude Van Damme from our streets.
This man is
a distraction.
Everyone should just get a cardboard cutout of him in case they're ever like caught in a situation. They just like throw it.
I mean, I get it. I believe he's from Belgium, right? Because they call him the Muscles from Brussels back in the day.
I don't know much about his like life. I just know.
Hey, Eurozeit gang, can you tell me is that really a neck breaker to see JCVD like that? Because I feel like flippantly, like, wasn't there like an Amazon show that was made about him called JCVD? Like, that was very sort of tongue-in-cheek about, like, him just being kind of Jean-Claude.
It was his Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And they played a theme song on an accordion?
Yeah.
Could you imagine, what does that show look like? If there was a Curb-type show, but it was about Jean-Claude Van Damme's world?
That'd be so good.
What is he like getting mad at like other martial artists who are doing like splits? And he's like, oh, it's pretty, pretty, pretty derivative. I was doing that. And you're like, okay, sir. But anyway, good luck to him. And I love to see his career keep going on. Well, Carl, thank you so much for coming on the Daily Zeitgeist today, bringing up Taco Bowl rules and leftover rules. Where can people find you and follow you? And what's a tweet that you like?
You can follow me on Instagram. I'm not on Twitter anymore, but I still look around every now and then. I got me a little burner. You'll never find it. You might find
Ooh.
It. But I saw a tweet that's very funny to me. It made me laugh quite a bit. I'm not saying that I agree with the sentiment of the tweet, but it was very funny. I'm just saying it anyway. This guy, Jazz2X, said, Jeff Bezos took two men with him to space instead of some bitches, and that's all I needed to know. And I saw that made me laugh quite a bit. It's so stupid.
What does that avatar look like?
It's 21 Savage.
Okay. I love it. 21. Oh, shit. Jamie, thank you so much for helping me host today. Where can people find you and follow you, listen to you, your new new materials? And what's a tweet that you like?
You can find me on Twitter, Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram, Jamie Christ Superstar. You can listen to me and Miles on ACCast. It's my new podcast where I read every single Kathy comic strip and we talk about it. I promise it's fun. And Miles plays Irving. So if that doesn't sell you on it, I don't know what.
Out here doing Will, voices.
If you're listening to this on Friday, I'm doing a DSA event tonight with a bunch of people I really like. John Early, Nick Sorelli, Brad Evans, Cynthia Nixon, etc. That is that's going on at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Reposting it everywhere if you're interested in checking that out. And the tweet, I'm going to shout out the Gloppy tweet. I feel like we got a lot of mileage out of it, and it would be wrong not to shout out normalize being so sweaty in the summer that people mistake you for Gloppy. And that's from at 2 Saddington.
Is Gloppy from Candyland?
I got to show because I don't quite remember.
Oh,
I've seen this image of Gloppy.
It looks like the pile of like.
Check him out. He looks like
like sentient diarrhea.
What is that from?
Yeah, he does.
Is that chopped steak? That's chopped beef.
I think he's.
Wait, is that chopped beef or Gloppy? Wait, that's Chop Beef's cousin, Gloppy. yeah, oh, it's from Candyland, I guess. So,
it is from Candyland. Okay.
Yeah, shout out to Gloppies out there
shout
of
out
the world.
Gloppy.
You can find me all over the place. First, let me tell you a tweet that I like. First one is from Blair Saki, at Blair Saki tweeted, going on a date tomorrow, praying all day he doesn't have Twitter. Yeah, that tracks. And another one is from at Kenzie, an idiot, tweeted, today I said, I want somebody to care that I hurt, to my therapist, and she started crying. Is that allowed? And that one just felt, ooh, God, felt that shit in my bones.
My therapist ever start crying, I beat his ass.
If you, I abide by the rule that if you can make your therapist cry, the session is free.
It's free. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
A good
well, okay.
Policy.
What kind of cry? Like, does an empathetic tear, like,
no,
sort of count?
They have to feel straight up bad for you. They have to be like, wow, that your life is garbage. I have nothing
oh.
to say. Or if you can, like, stump your therapist where they're just like, yeah, that's just a bad situation. I'm like, I'm not giving you $100 for telling me it's a bad situation. That's why I showed up.
Right.
Anyways.
That's like, that was like sort of in the Office Space where the fucking, where he's like going to that therapist and he's like describing like just how fucked up like his, he feels like his existence is. And then the therapist's like, God, that's messed up. I'm like, hey, hold on. That's free, I think, because I KO'd you with my life. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Also, the other show, 420 Day Fiancé. If you like weed, you like 90 Day Fiancé, you like 90 Day Fiancé or weed or a combination, check out the show. Go to twitch.tv/420dayfiancé for that one. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a website. We got Facebook fan pages. You can go to www.dailyzeitgeist.com where we post the episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
There it is. Thank you. And you can check out the song we ride out on, which I will give in a second. But just to remind you, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. What song are we going to ride out on today, you ask? Well, I'm feeling rather old today, and I'm really getting in the spirit of listening to some remixes of J-Lo's Get Right. Because let's get out. But this isn't that song. It's Get Right, but it's like a very... I don't know. It feels like a sexy dinner version remix of Get Right. And it's by the artist Ekany, E-K-A-N-Y. And I believe this remix is available on Spotify, but this is Ekany's Get Right. So check that out. And that's what we'll write off. Check back in with us a little bit later. We'll tell you what's trending. And until next time, which will be an afternoon. And then maybe after that, we'll see you again soon. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.